The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5. With Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985, the podcast. We're back. I'm Joe Murray, and Dan Lifshatz, fresh off his stay in Las Vegas during March Madness. Hello, Dan. How was your trip?
What's up, fellas? I am back. What's up, Joe? It was a rowdy trip, man. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was a bachelor party more than it was a trip out to Vegas for March Madness. It was kind of a bit of a combo. And I go pretty much every year. I'm trying to go every year. But unfortunately, I didn't get to do as much sports betting I like. I didn't get to, like, sit in the book and do the whole thing because we were on a bachelor party. So I ended up, you know, gambling, but also, you know, having to do more bachelor party things and everything. And so because of that, I actually end up, Joe, first time I've lost money on a Vegas trip. I made a ton of money sports betting. Sports betting was extremely profitable to me. I made money every day, a lot of money. I lost all of it and then some at the tables. It was horrific at the tables, Joe. Could not win anything.
I had an experience recently at the table, and I could have got up and went to bed, and I told my buddy he was weak for going to bed early, and then gave it all back.
Yep.
Damn tables. Plus in Vegas, man, they pump in that oxygen and you're just going. Like, you're just flowing, man. Just, it's like you're literally just floating. You know, when you're in Vegas, you're just floating around. But first things first, I know we like to recap the week that was. I thought you did very good when it came to just identifying value in the tournament, because, you know, I'm sure you saw, I for the podcast's sake, I bet every single game and I lost my shirt. When I tell you, dude, like, I had some bad beats, man. Florida State -8. Ugh, they won by 7.
Yep.
I mean, there was an LSU game, the previous game this week. You know, the total was Tennessee game, the total was 155. It went into overtime. It landed at 160. Like, Wofford was -5.5. They lost by 6. Like, dude, every single bet that I had last week, Vegas had me around their finger, man.
Yeah, and that Maryland LSU number, I think LSU won by 2 instead of 3. The number was 2.5 everywhere in Vegas. You couldn't get it at 3. And I actually bought it up, which, you know me, I'm not really a big buy-up guy, but yeah, I bought it up. I wasn't honestly surprised about that when I just saw the line. When I saw that number, I was like, oh, that smells so bad. I will say there were a few things I was mildly surprised about. I was honestly, this tournament has not been a big surprise to me, which is kind of sad. I was hoping for a lot more upsets, hoping for, you know, a lot more drama. We had like one overtime game. I was honestly hoping for a better tournament. You know, the biggest thing, honestly, that surprised me, Murray State in the first round.
They destroyed.
Dominated Marquette, which we shouldn't be surprised about.
They were on the list.
Oh, and Marquette has just been played just horribly the past few weeks.
Yep.
So I'm not surprised about that. I do want to give credit to Virginia. I really thought that they were done at whoever Ole Miss, Oklahoma won that game. And Oklahoma steamrolled Ole Miss. And I said, all right, yeah, Oklahoma's going to beat Virginia. So that was impressive to me. Virginia does look impressive. Honestly, I think Virginia might make the Final Four at this point, the way they're going. They had a rough first half, but since they've been pretty dynamite. Buffalo was a big letdown in the second round. They weren't even close to Texas Tech. That line is 4. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting line. That's a hang around Buffalo line. Not even close.
How about Villanova getting destroyed by Purdue?
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I had Purdue. I thought Purdue was the much better team of those two. I didn't like Nova. I wasn't a big Nova guy. I had Purdue coming out of that side of the bracket. So that's not a huge surprise to me. But I do think the fact that the way that Purdue beat Nova is bad.
That was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And, you know, Auburn looks really impressive. They play North Carolina now. The Duke game versus UCF, like, I don't know how Duke's escaped. I don't.
It's just one of those things, like, Duke escaped, and now you know it's going to be almost impossible to beat them. At least that's my feeling. You know, it's like...
Well, hey, Virginia Tech has beat them early. Granted, it was without Zion.
It was without Zion in Virginia Tech. This is a totally different circumstance. I'm certainly not going to be backing Virginia Tech to win that game. I think we're in for, you know, a Michigan State Duke, you know, Elite Eight round there, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to get either of those teams to be upset. I think Michigan State should roll LSU pretty handily. I think Duke will beat Virginia Tech. I think we'll have Duke, Michigan State. And honestly, I think whoever wins that game wins the tournament. That's my personal opinion. Those two, in my opinion, are still the two most impressive, best teams in the country, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, we'll break down these Sweet 16 games. Just to throw it out there, Dan, I went 13-15-1 betting every – I tried to bet every single game, and then I my confidence started getting destroyed. And then all of a sudden, all these rookies are like, yeah, I know how to pick games. You don't know how to pick games. It's like, dude, relax. I've been picking every single game. And the thing is that I was locked in on every game, man. Like, you know, 12 o'clock, 12:15, 12:44, 1. I was just making a pick, dude. At one point, I was just like, eaty, meaty, mighty, mo, you know? It got out of hand. I'd recommend not doing that. And I did it for fun. But at this point, I've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah. And
I can't remember the last time I've lost 3 in a row against the spread. So, like, this week, this upcoming week, Dan, I'm focused. And, like, this, I'm ready to go. And tonight, I know you tweeted out some picks. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. But you had the Bruins over. Boom, boom.
Yes, sir.
And I forget what else you had.
I have the Jazz minus 15 against the Lakers. They are up by 17 right now.
Yeah. So you're picking spots. You know how we talk about models? Like, the difference between us. Like, you have a model. You go by a certain trend. Like me, I'm kind of like an eyeball gut. Well, the Vegas got me. They got me by the balls. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I can't believe how dead on the lines were. And I just kept following it.
Ugh. You're going real square in the tournament, and you got to be careful in those spots. Like, Maryland LSU.
Square the weekend was, though. All the favorites hit.
Oh, all the favorites hit, but they didn't cover. That's the thing. Like, they didn't cover. Like, Duke won. Both games didn't cover either of them, you know? LSU won but didn't cover. Virginia Tech did cover. Michigan State did cover, but Gonzaga didn't cover. There a whole bunch of the favorites in at least the first round really didn't cover.
Yep. No, second round they took care of business, but I'm ready to get back at it this week. And again, I know for all the people, oh, Joe, you're cold. Like, I will never ever. I did that for the podcast. People wanted the picks. I did it.
Yep,
I was on the wrong side of it.
That's why I told them I'm going to give out 2 to 3 a day. You know, if you guys want to ask me. And the thing was, in Vegas, it was Vegas, man. I was doing stuff. I didn't have time to answer DMs and whatever. I know people were upset about that, but it just is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I've been working literally. I'm not even kidding. The fact we're doing this podcast right now is because you're at work and I just happen to be home. Normally I'm probably up eating junk food anyways. But I have not had between working our real jobs, working radio and doing this podcast, we're doing commercials now for the podcast. Like, it's just, whew, it is truly March Madness. And by the way, I'm going to WrestleMania in a week.
Yes, sir.
So that's going to be very interesting to figure out a day to do a podcast for that one. So anything else from last week that you wanted to get in on?
Not really. I do want to we're going to get into baseball, and so because of that, we'll definitely touch upon, you know, what we need to touch upon there. I do want to warn people coming up, because I know what's going to happen. I've already been sent a whole bunch of parlays and all these idiot things by all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Stop betting parlays in March Madness. You're going to lose your ass. It's going to happen, man. You guys are going to lose money on that. Don't bet parlays in the tournament. Stop betting all the favorites. Not every single favorite covers. Like, here we go, and I'll give you a preview right now. Tennessee-Purdue, who do you like in that one? That's a 1.5-point spread.
If you're asking me, I think Tennessee is the better team, but Harms might be the biggest difference in the game for Purdue.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's even close. I think Purdue is far and away the better team. I actually don't think it's remotely close. And I think that everyone's going to be on Tennessee. I think that's going to be a square line. Everyone loves Tennessee. We've talked about Tennessee all year, Joe. What's the problem with Tennessee? They don't have elite talent. They don't have the talent to get it done. And Purdue has just been a wagon when they needed to. I think Purdue is going to win that game. I think they're going to roll that game.
One thing to add to that, I know we're doing a breakdown in a bit, but Tennessee has given up almost 80 points in their last six games. If Purdue is going to drop 80 points, if they're going to give up 80 points, I think you're all right on that front when it comes to those points.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I am just, slightly worried about, I would say, in those situations.
Plus that Big Ten grinded out teams, they've been doing really well in the tournament.
Agreed. And I'm just saying right now, I just think that there's going to be a large portion of those teams that, man, there's going to be people who are going to lose their ass this week, and you got to be okay. You have to be, you have to be very, very careful.
Flip side for me, I lost it last week. I'm ready to go. Like literally, I got my bankroll on swole, and I'm ready to do this. So we're gonna talk Sweet 16, NCAA basketball. We got our baseball preview coming up in just a little bit as well. You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast.
Welcome back to Foxborough, practice number 2 of training camp.
From training camp,
it just matters that we won, man.
To championship celebrations.
I mean, it was like a home game here. We love you guys.
This is where Boston talks sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
Taking a look at the Sweet 16 with Thursday's games in the NCAA tournament. Just the opening game for that day is Florida State versus Gonzaga. Now, I do want to tell you this. Gonzaga is a 7-point favorite, 7.5 at some places. Florida State has talent, man. And I read somewhere this week that the coach of Florida State in the tournament is 7-1 against the spread in his career. And to me, I know Gonzaga is one of the favorites. But I'm curious, the way that Florida State just can roll 9 guys out there, I think this is going to be like a matchup issue for Gonzaga.
I think Gonzaga is going to roll them.
Really?
Yeah, I think Gonzaga has shown that they are incredibly, incredibly versatile in their games. They beat Baylor by 12, but honestly probably could have beat them by 20 if they wanted to. I thought they were the much better team. I didn't even think that game was that close. The fact that Baylor covered was a miracle, in my opinion.
Well, do you remember these two teams played a year ago and Florida State won?
I do. I got to tell you, I'm not really that impressed with Florida State so far. I know they've won, okay? But, I mean, they were terrible versus Vermont. I mean, really terrible. The fact that
Vermont had like a million threes.
They barely beat Vermont. Vermont almost beat. I mean, honestly, I don't think Florida State deserved to get out of the first round. That's my personal opinion. Now, they ended up winning by 7. That's confirmed. Vermont was fouling at the end. But in reality, that game was not a 7-point game. That was a 3- or 4-point game.
What they did to Jay Morant means nothing?
I don't think so. Murray State was a nice story, and they rolled Marquette. Marquette was a horrendous team the final 4 weeks of the season. It was a good win. I mean, I can't take that away from them. I'm just, does that win impress me? Not really, to be honest with you. That win doesn't really do much for me. For whatever reason, I have a feeling like I like this Gonzaga team, man. I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to roll the balls. I think they're going to beat Florida State by 20.
I do think Brandon Clark has really helped his draft value for Gonzaga. I guess he was Defensive Player of the Year, which I did not know. But, you know, Hachimura is the big name on that team, but Clark has been outstanding. They got a kid, Tilly, as well. He did not play in last year's meeting. So let's see what happens when they play again today. I like Florida State to keep it close. But, again, I'm 0 for my last three. So we'll keep that one in mind. By the way, the total in that one?
147.
147 right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I have Gonzaga minus 7 there. I think Gonzaga's going to beat them. And that spread should tell you all you need to know. The fact that that spread is 7 or 7.5 in most places now should tell you all you need to know. They want you on Florida State in that one, Joe. That's my feeling.
Right now, I see 65% of the betting public on Florida State.
Yeah, that's pretty much what is going to be. They're going to be a huge public dog.
So we just hyped up Purdue, Tennessee, and I feel you on the line. Like, the line is definitely a square favorite for Tennessee. The winner of this will take on either Virginia or Oregon to go to the Final Four. Harms, I think, is a very good player for Purdue and can take, you know, at least take away the inside. Like, Tennessee has that 6'5 kid who's nasty. I forget his name. He's nasty around the basket, but he's like 6'5. But they have problems closing out games, as we saw last week against Iowa. To me, I think Tennessee is the better team. All year long, Tennessee's been the better team. Purdue has come along. Since winning, getting a share of the Big Ten title, they've certainly come along. They destroyed Villanova last week. Again, Tennessee coming away, escaping a game in overtime. I know you lean Purdue in this one, and maybe you can explain it based off the line, but for me, I still think Tennessee is the right side, but it also is the square play.
Yeah, I don't see – we've talked about all year about how Tennessee doesn't have pro talent, and at some point that's going to hurt them. You come up against a team like Purdue who, again, they are deep. They are talented. They play in a very good conference. You know, if this was a Pac-12 team or a Big East team, sure, you know, you could say, well, you know, look at their conference, but they were 25-9. They dominated their conference, which we now have seen is one of the best two or three conferences in the entire country. Tennessee, in my opinion, struggled at times, you know, really had a very good run, but towards the end of the year cooled off a lot. Now they won in Kentucky, but on the road, you know, is where they struggled versus good teams. Kentucky, LSU, Auburn, all losses on the road. Now these are neutral court games, but nonetheless, that doesn't change the fact that these are all very good teams who win, you know, most of their games on the road. And Purdue, in my opinion, is one of those teams. Neutral court, they were dominant for the most part. I think Purdue is battle tested. I think Purdue is the better team than Tennessee. I think Purdue is going to win this game.
All right, Dan likes Purdue to knock off Tennessee in the Sweet 16 as we are doing the Over Under 985 podcast on Over Under 985 and on 985thesportshub.com. I am currently Instagramming this video. I just sent it out to all our fans.
How's lovely. That sound?
On Instagram. Lovely, huh, Dan?
Quite lovely.
What else we got here? We got Texas Tech, Michigan. You're out on Michigan. I already know it. We shouldn't even break down the game because you're out on Michigan.
You ready for a shocker? I like Michigan.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so...
Oh, geez.
Can I... I'm wanting to take a mea culpa and admit that I was wrong in this Michigan team. I I thought they were going to be an early exit in the tournament. They're not. Texas Tech absolutely smoked, and I mean smoked, Buffalo. But Buffalo didn't play well. Michigan is the better team. On the number, I like Michigan. I just do. I like Michigan on the number. I'm not going to be playing this game no matter what, Joe. I mean, in my opinion, the best play on this was the under at 126.
That's another thing. This is like one of the lowest totals I've seen in the tournament. Like, you know, like the sucker bet is the over, as I've heard before. This one, I lean under with you on that.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's not very close. So that's my problem. That is very much my problem right now, and so I very much would say Michigan probably is a side, but I like the under the most. I won't be betting that game. Point and simple, I do lean Michigan for sure.
So I like Charles Matthews. I'm just curious if he can be defended. The kid Jared Culver of Texas Tech is really rising up the rising up the ranks right now. That Texas Tech team has won multiple games this year by double digits. I just think this is going to be a low-scoring, grind-it-out game. It's going to be boring, so I agree with you. You're probably not going to touch it, not going to bet on it. But those low spreads on favorites, they're going to get you. I'm telling you.
Stay away, Joe. Stay away. It's not that difficult. Just say no. Say no.
Just say no.
It's like drugs.
There's no hope with no. Say by the bell.
I mean, we all know that we didn't say no to drugs, but my point is...
Well, you know, Kelly Kapowski, she wouldn't smoke the joint, remember?
Jesus. Yeah, we're going back into, the mid-late 90s at this point?
But that's the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, yeah. Maybe but my again, nonetheless, my point is, I think Michigan is a better team. I think I was wrong about Michigan. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. And I think that Michigan is going to win that game. However, I think the best value on the board is the under there. As you said, it's going to be two grinded out teams. And again, I think that's the best play. I will not personally be betting it. Will not personally be betting it. So, you know, enjoy my lean, whatever. I won't be on that game.
Live dark horse here is Texas Tech. Like, I bet you if everyone who has their brackets are Michigan, you know?
Yep.
Overlooking how great they really have been this year. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. 8-2 against the spread for all those who care about that. Oregon, Virginia. I know you're high on Virginia. You're impressed with their bounce back. Really impressive is Oregon and what they've done this year without Bol Bol. And it's their defense. All of a sudden, Oregon was not a good regular season team. They were not this year. Peyton Pritchard's really turned into a really good point guard. He's averaging about 19 points a game just since the Pac-12 tournament. They got a freshman, Lewis King, that has played really well. But here's the deal for Virginia. If they knock down their threes and knock down shots, they'll win this game easily because Oregon has problems scoring. That's one of their big issues. Right now they are scoring. But we've seen Virginia have these lapses at times, or like we did in the opening round, where they don't knock down shots, they struggle to defend. This is going to be a grind. If Virginia wins this game, they're not going to win it easily. I don't see a 20-point win by any means. I saw some people have them as 10-point favorites. I see 8.5 at a couple of places right now. I think the line's dead on, but I'm going to give Oregon a little bit more credit than this. I don't think this is just a runaway for Virginia.
I don't think it's a runaway. This reminds me of a game that stays close to the final few minutes, and then one team pulls away or something like that. I do think Oregon has been one of the most impressive teams this entire year. Honestly, the fact that they lose Bol Bol, by far their best player, reinvent the team that they are, turn from an offensive team to a defensive team. And then, have the wherewithal in the tournament to beat some very good defensive teams. I mean, yeah, UC Irvine is an elite defensive team.
Yeah.
They just turned it on at the end. They dominated, in the first round. They beat UC Irvine, and I thought that the game got close. Oregon let them back in for a while, but eventually they pulled away. I got to be honest here. I just I don't think that this is going to be all that close. For a good portion of the game, I think the game will be very close for a good portion, and one team will pull away. I think Virginia will ultimately cover.
Okay,
that's ultimately cover, at least win. I mean, here's the thing: would you take I came out saying rule number one, no parlays. Would you bet on a Gonzaga Virginia parlay?
I wouldn't. No, I like Florida State in that matchup, and I think Oregon hangs around. So like I just think those two teams, Oregon and Florida State, aren't going to go away lightly. I don't. So yeah, I mean, the money line to me is more like a Michigan game, like Michigan Gonzaga. You know, and maybe you're right. I see what you mean by, hey, eight points is a lot. It opened at 6.5. Look how much money's come in on Virginia. So we're talking about two teams that are, you know, I know Virginia's been good all year. Oregon's like hot as nail. You don't want to play them right now.
No, I don't want to play them. I agree. Listen, I'm not saying that Oregon is some sort of elite team and they're hot. You want to play them. But this is what happens every year. A good 12 seed gets to the Sweet 16 and they get demolished and they lose. It feels like this is the type of team that had a nice run, really look good in the first two games, and for the most part will probably go quietly into the night. That's my opinion. Yeah, I think Virginia probably, you know, it's a close game. Virginia probably leads by like 4-6 all game, covers by like 10 or 12 after all the fouls down the stretch. And, you know, no one's really that surprised, but it's frustrating for Oregon backers because they stayed in the game for the most part. That's how I feel this game goes. Now, I don't think I'm going to bet on this one either. I think there's clearly a spot that I like. I think you guys clearly know which spot that I like the most. Obviously, I think that Purdue and Gonzaga are the two teams that I like the most. I'm not sure if I'll bet on them, but for right now, I think, you know, just off the top of the dome, I think those are two spots I like the most. I just think that right now, Virginia, Gonzaga probably both win. I'm not going to be betting a Virginia Gonzaga parlay that, you know, that's going to pay nothing. It's like 435, 350. However, I would not be shocked. You know, again, we always talk about two-team parlays, Joe, and bringing down the juice, and that's really the only acceptable point of where you can, you know, parlay things. To me, this is one of those spots where I would feel safe with betting, you know, something and wanting to bring down the juice. You know, there's a hockey game or, you know, a high money line hockey game I want to bring down the juice with. I would feel safe betting, you know, betting the Virginia money line or the Gonzaga money line in a parlay or something like that. I feel that both those teams will win, ultimately will win.
All right, LSU, Michigan State. I'm looking at this one as a fan. This is going to be a good game. You know, just watching LSU, like Waters, Stokes, like Naz Reid, have you seen this guy in the middle? Like, LSU is an exciting team. They play a 9 deep, I think, is what they do. Michigan State's Tom Izzo, like, they're going to be favored in this one. LSU had that epic collapse though against Maryland.
Woo! Bless you.
Wow, how about that, huh? I know Michigan State will probably advance. I know. I really like LSU in this one. I really do.
Why? What is to like about LSU? And again, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, what is there to like about LSU in the spot?
I just think that they have the bigs. Like, again, Skylar Mays, to me, like, he's been one of the better players. I think he's been one of the better players in the tournament.
I agree with that. He definitely has been. When LSU has been rolling offensively, he's struggled defensively at times, Joe.
Now, turnovers, I think, are Michigan State's biggest issue. Besides that, they romp everybody.
Right.
But they didn't cover that first game. I think this is a game that, you know, 75-70, in that range. Like, I just think the LSU squad, they're deep, man. You know, I just think they're a really deep team, man. And I know they kind of blew it last week. Towards the end of the game there, and they only won by two and not three. I think I would back them at a 6-point dog in the spot.
This one feels like a Michigan State wins, but LSU covers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Yeah, that's how it does feel to me as well. I think Michigan State's going to win this game. I do. I don't think that that's even remotely a question for me. The question is, does LSU cover in this one? I tend to agree with you, Joe. I think LSU is going to find a way to cover. Now, here's the thing that does frustrate me about watching LSU. They have really, and I mean really, they really let that Maryland game go. They let the Yale game go. You know, they were comfortably ahead in both those games. At the end of the game, they let both those teams back in.
You know the reason for that is, and you're making good points, coaching. They don't have their coach.
Yeah, I think
Izzo can run circles in that spot.
That's exactly what I was going to get to. So here's my thing. At the end of the game, you can't trust LSU, and Michigan State has their coach, and they will pull away on you. That's my biggest issue with LSU right now, is that the coaching clearly in the final 5 minutes of these games has not been good for LSU. They're not in their sets.
I'm telling you, they're a talented bunch, but if there's one issue for them, it's definitely that coaching and at the end of the game.
So here's the problem. Michigan State has way more talent than they do. No matter how much talent LSU has, I think Michigan State has more. And so if you're counting on your talent to bring you to a spot that, you know, you're counting on your talent to win out, well, Michigan State is the talent and the coach.
Michigan State should advance in the spot. I just like the LSU team, and I think they keep it within six. I'm going to get till Friday to make a pick on that one.
I do too. I agree with you. I think Michigan State is ultimately going to win, though.
I like the under so far in that game, 150. Just looking at it, I think it's going to be like a 70. Both teams get in the 70s, maybe. We'll see. Auburn, North Carolina. This is going to be a hell of a game, man. I'm like pumped up to watch Bruce Pearl versus Roy Williams. And like, you know, because Roy gets pissed. Bruce Pearl gets excited, man. Like, I'm so happy for Bruce Pearl. Where that guy has been, he even said to take the over. in an interview. Did you hear that?
Yep, I did.
He told SVP, I think it was. No, take the over. So, the over opened at 160. It's now at 164.5. So, I think we're listening, Bruce.
I mean, that's... Are you surprised that they? I mean, the overs can hit 164.5. That should be a pretty solid play, no matter what it is. If Auburn's going to win this game, they have to run and gun. That's straight up the honest part of it. If they're going to win this game, they have to run and gun. They have to, you know, they have to close it out. In my opinion, they're going to have to just dominate, you know, North Carolina. I think Auburn wins. I do. I think that this is the best chance for getting a legitimate upset in the tournament, in this round, in the Sweet 16 you're going to have. I think Auburn is going to beat North Carolina. I do. I think Auburn has been one of the most underrated teams all year. We've talked about it. When their three-point shooting is on, they're almost impossible to stop. North Carolina has looked human so far in the tournament. Now, they were very good versus Washington. Washington looked overmatched by them, but a team like Iona, who is similar, can we agree with that?
Fast-paced running,
shooting team gave North Carolina a ton of trouble. And they're a 16 seed. Now we give Auburn, who is a much more talented 5 seed, probably the most talented 5 seed in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
I think this is where UNC goes down. I like Auburn outright in that one.
So two things in this one. Bryce Brown of Auburn, like he's like one of their best players, but he got hot. 25 points in the last game. They have a kid, Jared Harper, who's like been contributing. So they're getting like 18 points a game from like three different guys right now. The only thing that concerns me with North Carolina is Kobe White. Like, he's the guy with the big hair, you know?
Yep.
Like, he's good. I think he's going to be an NBA player. I do. But like freshman in this situation, going up against senior guards who are hungry, like, that's something I'd look at. He has trouble sometimes getting the ball over half court. You know, I always look for that 10-second call there. But For the most part, like, that's the guy I look at. Kobe White, he's been really good. May's been really good. Who is it? Nasir Little. Like, I actually picked North Carolina to win the whole thing this year. But if there is a team that's going to knock him off, it's Auburn. I agree with you. Like, if I'm going to back a side here, I like the 5 points in Auburn. I just have North Carolina winning the whole thing. I feel like they run and gun too much. They get fouled when they get all the calls in the world. They get every single call. Something Auburn does not get, by the way.
We'll see. We'll see, because I'm telling you right now, if North Carolina keeps getting the money that they have on them, you ain't gonna see North Carolina getting the calls.
That's true. And listen, can we talk about that for 1 second here?
Sure.
Did you see that Tennessee game?
Which one?
They called the foul, the one that went into overtime over the weekend. They called against Iowa.
Yeah.
They called a foul saying that the guy hit the guy's hand. They were and gave him a free 3-point shot to tie the game with like seconds left. I do think the officiating with these spreads has definitely come into question in the tournament.
100%. Iowa, that Iowa game with Tennessee is a very good one. I'm trying to think of the first weekend. There was one that was very clear.
The last Auburn game, I bet I took the over second half, had no chance. It went over.
Purdue.
Like, he kept going and going.
The Purdue Old Dominion game. I was on Purdue. I didn't think they should have covered that. In my opinion, I thought that Old Dominion should have covered that. I thought ODU got screwed by the refs late. Same with Auburn in the first round. I thought that the refs were all over New Mexico State, giving them everything they wanted.
They gave them the 3-point shot to win the game.
And literally everything they wanted. New Mexico State, you know, if they needed a foul, they got it. So that was bad. I have to be honest with you, I also thought Villanova got a lot of the calls in the first round. I really did. I felt that they were the beneficiary of that. So refs have definitely played into this one.
So I again, just to be clear, I don't think they've been the difference in the winners or losers.
Agreed.
I think they've been implicating where the spread ends up.
That is the best way to put it. And people wonder why does the spread, you know, why doesn't that happen? You know what I mean? And people always wonder why refs, you know, why people think that refs determine games, but they are determine spreads, but not outcomes. It's because these guys know what they're doing. They've been doing it for so long. I mean, just watch the NBA every night. You know, they're good at this stuff. They can, if they want the Grizzlies to win by three, they can make it. So the Grizzlies are close to winning by three almost every night.
If they want Sacramento by two, they can certainly give you a 3-point shot at the end of the game when you're up five to make it close, you know?
Exactly.
Like they know how to do that. And that's not me complaining about the refs, so I don't want to hear it this week. Virginia Tech Duke, we kind of talked about this. You know, and that was a Monday night game. I just remember it being home in VTech, just the Blackshear, man, that big guy in the middle, him and Zion. That's what it's going to come down to in this game. It's actually a good matchup.
Like, I'm excited to watch that game.
I know you'll lean Zion in that matchup. Blackshear can play, man. Like, he's kind of like he's bigger than Zion. VTech can shoot from the outside. And two good coaches. ACC battle. Both teams know they can play with each other. Like, Duke knows they can beat Virginia Tech healthy. VTech has beaten Duke, so they know they can stick around. Line was 8.5. It's dropped to 7.5 right now. Total's at 144. Just looking at this, I think Duke, after their scare, there's no looking back now. I think they take care of business against Virginia Tech.
I do, too. I agree. I think Duke will cover. I think that everyone's going to be on Virginia Tech. They're going to be a trendy dog. You know, it's not going to be Auburn versus UNC. It's going to be Virginia Tech, and it's going to be LSU, and it's going to be these trendy dogs, you know, Florida State, maybe Oregon. I think that Duke probably takes care of business here. I do think this game is going to be close for a while, though, Joe. I don't think Duke's going to blow them out. I just don't think they're that kind of team. I just don't think they're old enough and mature enough to really blow out these good teams. I do think they find a way to win, especially after last week.
Duke lost by 5 on the road without Zion. What's Zion worth? 11, 12 points?
In college basketball, Zion's probably worth 7 to 8 points. And when you take away home court, I'd say probably worth 3 to 4 more. So I think generally you're talking about a 12-point swing, which is about right. Which is all right,
because
Duke 7.
Because of how well they played, didn't play without him. I just thought they'd be worth a little bit more.
It's tough. It depends. I think, again, it's very matchup-based. You know, some games where Zion probably isn't worth as much to teams. So, sometimes Zion wouldn't be worth, 7-8 points in a matchup for Duke. But I think in this matchup, Blackshear, the way that Virginia Tech does pound the paint when they need to, they can shoot the three, but they pound to the paint versus Vermont to get that win. Versus St. Louis to get that win. I do think that is a team that will have to absolutely pound the paint versus Duke and get Zion in foul trouble if they want to win that game.
Oh, yeah. Penetrate, kick, look inside the black chair, slow it down. And the total, again, 144. If they can do that, if they cover, it goes under. So
agreed. I agreed.
And then just one last final game. This one's interesting. I've been looking into Houston a little bit more lately. So I'm out on Houston because I lost a three-team parlay on a Sunday afternoon. I was playing with house money. And I was like, yeah, I'll just do a little, $300 parlay on these three teams. And they lost to Houston.
You know what I'm going to tell you?
I know. I was up. It had nothing to. I won, so it didn't matter. But the parlay lost. But I had a nice little three-team parlay, and they lost to UCF. And I looked at them, and I'm like, frauds, 33-3. Nope, not good. They're playing Kentucky. I don't know, man. I like Houston in this spot.
So I picked Kentucky to go to the Final Four in my bracket. Unfortunately, I agree. I think that Houston's the spot. Houston, again, we talked about all year, teams that don't have pro talent are going to struggle at some point. There's going to be moments where they struggle.
Another thing, Houston scores. And Kentucky, I guess they have a good defense, right?
Kentucky is a good team, but, man, are they so streaky right now. You just never know what you're going to get with them.
I think it's just the young kids in these big – like, yeah, they're full of talent, obviously.
100%.
But it's just – I don't know. Is it? And it's not Calipari because he's clearly been there. But like, I don't know, Reed Travis. Like he's kind of like their guy, and then everyone else is just inconsistent.
It doesn't. I agree with that. And Reed Travis is banged up right now too. Let's not forget that. He's not remotely 100%. So
now Houston ranks 20th in the nation in offensive efficiency, which I thought was like really weird. They averaged they averaged 26 three-pointers a game. If they nail, I don't know, half of that, 40, 30% of that, there's no way Kentucky keeps up.
I agree with that. Unfortunately, I think that Houston's going to beat them too. I think this is probably one of my favorite looks of the weekend. I hate to say it because Kentucky was my Final Four pick, but Houston looks good. The way they're playing is impressive. Kentucky just doesn't look like the team that we've saw earlier in the season when they were just on fire, crushing Tennessee and everything. They don't look like they have it. That's my personal opinion. So I agree. Joe, I think Houston covers the three. I think they win outright.
Plus, I'm mad at them because they won by 6, and I had Wolford at 5.5.
So. Of course. So you're mad at Kentucky for covering and doing their job.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
Bad Kentucky. Bad. Bad. Bad for covering.
How dare you cover?
How dare you do your job and cover the spread?
John Calipari cheating.
Oh, well. Cheating? He's not cheating. I mean,
I don't know if he can cheat anymore.
They watch him like a hawk these days.
You should have heard my rant this weekend. I was killing Boston College basketball for not. They haven't made the tournament in 10 years. 10 years. You know who's made it? BU.
UMass? Has UMass made it?
UMass. Northeastern. Holy Cross, Harvard, Fairfield, Providence, URI, Vermont, all these teams can make it and BC can't for 10 straight years. Don't get me going. Don't do it.
But enough BC talk.
It's unacceptable.
Enough BC talk. Let's move on. All right. So, Joe.
Sweet 16 games. All we got.
All right. Sweet 16. Do you have any picks for the Final Four? Or do you want to wait on those? Because those are coming Saturday.
I want to wait on the Final. Ooh, yeah.
Or sorry. Do you want to touch the Elite Eight? Because those are coming Saturday, not the Final Four. My apologies.
Yeah.
Who are your Elite Eight picks? If you pick a winner from each game, forget about the spread. You're just picking winners. Who wins this weekend?
So I think it's, man, put me on the spot here. I think Michigan State advances. And who would they take on? Duke?
So Michigan State will take on Duke if Duke was to
I like Michigan State and Duke to advance. I think that this whole tournament has been set up for these two to play.
Agreed. I mean, that's exactly how I feel, too. I think that whoever wins that matchup is going to win the tournament. But just, do you want to go down? I'll start if you want. I'll go down the list and give you every winner of every game for me.
Oh, geez. Okay.
All right. I'll start. I have Gonzaga. Again, this is not spreads, just money lines for people who are concerned, you know, with spreads. I have Gonzaga over Florida State, Purdue over Tennessee, Michigan over Texas Tech, Virginia beating Oregon, Michigan State beating LSU, Auburn beating North Carolina, Duke beating Virginia Tech, and Houston beating Kentucky.
So I have all of that besides Tennessee on Thursday night. I have them advancing over Purdue. I'm going against my Big Ten squad. And I like North Carolina, and I like Houston as well. So North Carolina, I think, advances. So we're really only opposite on two games.
That's not bad. I mean, for the most part, which is funny because we have disagreed, I feel, a good amount this tournament.
I've lost. I don't know how. I've lost. So anyways, that's our Sweet Six. That's our NCAA basketball breakdown there. No PPs. No PPs. Somebody asked, yeah, I didn't hear any PPs in the podcast. We discussed every game. Fade or follow, baby. You make a choice. I almost gave out the phone number, Dan. Do you believe that?
I'm not surprised. Right now, Jazz are up 15 with 23 seconds left, and the Lakers have the ball, so I'm watching very closely right now. This is frustrating. They were just up 22 like a minute ago.
Next week, we'll also maybe get into more NBA stuff. The playoffs are starting up. We can do, you know, who do you think will advance in each conference and all that crap. Because it looks like we know who'll be in the playoffs and who won't, I think, next week.
Jazz minus 15 is a push. That's frustrating. Well,
you weren't on the wrong side.
No, but I wasn't on the right side either. Whatever, I'll take a 1-0-1.
It's not a loser.
It still wins, but...
Not a loser. All right, we will do a little baseball preview. Major League Baseball season has begun, but tomorrow all the rest of the teams in Major League Baseball get underway, and we'll do a little projection and futures for you here on Over Under 985.
Touchdown! Got it!
Don't be left out.
You know the hot take.
This stupid All-Star game.
He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lipschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
Baseball, we're talking baseball, we're talking baseball, talking baseball. What's your favorite baseball movie, Dan?
Jeez. Honestly, I don't really have one.
Get out of here. Come on. Sandlot.
I like the Sandlot.
Field of Dreams. Major League.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't love anything. Probably Major League.
My favorite's Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out. Oh, that's a good one, too. I like that. It's probably Major League, Joe. Probably.
All right.
Yeah. I don't feel bad about that, but whatever.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of, like, a good baseball song. Like, You know, look at me, I can be center field. All right, so the Red Sox are the defending World Series champions. I'll ask you right off the bat, just so the bettors will know. Are you going to take that bet this year again?
No.
I did last year.
No, I'm not. I don't think the Red Sox are going to repeat this year, unfortunately. I do not. I think they're a very good team. I think they have a better chance next year. I don't think that they win this year. I think there are two specific teams to me this year in the AL that I like this year, and then there's one specific team in the NL I like this year. So those will be the teams I'm riding.
So looking at the National League, Dodgers, who else?
I like the Cardinals. I think that they're a very underrated team this year, and I think that they are by far, in my opinion, the best NL team, and I really like them. I think that they are going to cover. I think they're going to win a lot of games this year. I think they're going to be better than the Cubs. I think they have a better lineup. I think they have better pitching. I just think that they're the best team in the NL. I think that they're my choice to win the NL at +725. In the AL, in my opinion, I think the Yankees and the Red Sox eventually will both fade. I do think that this is going to be between the Astros and the Indians. So
wow.
those two are going to be my picks.
So I'll get this out of the way. I have the Astros and the Dodgers.
Interesting. Why do you have the Dodgers going back? I just feel at some point that team is going to run out of bullets.
I just think that the manager is very good, and that they have the offense and the great pitching they do. You know, the Phillies is interesting, right? I mean, you mentioned the Cardinals, but I think the Phillies, just the Vegas is favoring them big time. And we'll go over some win totals in a little bit here, but you just mentioned pennants. So I just wanted to look up the pennant odds, which I thought were interesting. And I guess we'll start in the National League there.
Okay.
When you look at it, like, you know, Arizona Diamondbacks +2,500, you know, I wouldn't touch that. Obviously the Braves +1,000, Cubs +800. I see value in that. Reds 3,300. Nope. Rockies 1,200. Nope. Dodgers are +450. Like, they're the heavy favorite. They are. And I know that who else is +450 here? And this is to win the pennant. The Phillies are +450. So can you believe they have the same odds as the Dodgers?
So I have on Five Dimes, I have the Dodgers +365 to win the NL. I have the Phillies +450, the Cubs +600, the Cardinals +725, the Brewers +750, the Nationals +800, the Braves +1250, and the Rockies +1350. I don't think anyone else is going to matter there.
Wow, my book is the Rockies at 3,300.
Wow, your book is giving away nice money, huh?
Well, I'm telling you, there's some value here. There's some value here.
You might have to play some futures on your book, Joe. Jesus Christ.
Maybe it just hasn't refreshed yet. But to me, it's Dodgers. I think the Phillies are overvalued. I do like your thought on the Cardinals. They are +700. I'll just take a weird stab at the Nationals without Bryce Harper at +800. Maybe addition by subtraction.
Yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs for whatever reason. I don't think they're going to win it all. I just don't think they have the lineup to win it all. You know, they'd have to make some legitimate additions at the deadline. And, well, you know, obviously we can't predict the future. We can't predict things that are going to happen like that. But, you know, I do think that the Nationals are a talented group, but are they talented enough to win? Probably not. They're not more talented than any of the AL teams I listed. They're probably not more talented than the Cardinals or the Cubs. I will say, Joe, very interesting. Five Dimes has the Cubs +600 to win the pennant, and the Cardinals +725 to win the pennant. But the Cardinals +1300 to win the World Series, and the Cubs +1350.
I saw the same thing. It's weird.
I mean, you know what that means? They want you on the Cubs, baby.
Yeah.
That's what it says to me.
And that's... And I bet you a lot of people go that way. American League, you know, JD Martinez had a comment in the offseason, kind of making a joke about Major League Baseball, just being like, I think we already know the teams that are going to be there. Well, I think Vegas does too. You know, right now they have the Yankees. My book, +275, Red Sox +300, Astros +350. The only other team that comes in the mix close is Cleveland at +600. Every other team is 1,000 or more. There's really four good teams in the American League. That's it.
I think that right now, Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, Indians, we're going to have to see. I think there'll be one more team that emerges from the group. There will be one more team.
So let's pick out. Let's have some fun with this because mine's the Oakland Athletics. Last year they made that hot run at the end of the year. Right now they are what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4. They are +1,400 at my book.
To win the World Series or the pennant?
Pennant.
I have them +1,950 on five dimes. I got to tell you, I think the best chance for a team to emerge this year, I think, is Los Angeles Angels +2,350.
So I saw that too. I was thinking the same thing.
They're starting to finally make some additions to that team.
New manager.
They need to put some talent around Mike Trout. They're recognizing the fact that Trout is not going to be in the prime of his career forever. At some point, they got to start adding pieces to that. They're starting to do that. I think they're going to continue to do that. I think if you're going to have a team emerge that is going to contend with those four other teams in the AL, it's going to be the Angels.
Yeah, and I know that – who's the guy? Ohtani.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani.
He's going to be hitting this year.
He will not be pitching, which is probably a good thing. If he focuses on just hitting, there's a chance you see him, become a very elite patient hitter.
Yeah, maybe Matt Harvey can turn his career around.
Yeah, and then obviously the signing of Harvey for LA would be huge. If he pitches well in the AL, I mean, look out. That Angels team could be very scary. They do still need an elite pitcher at the top of the rotation. So
yeah, they don't have it.
They need, for someone to become available from one of these, outlying teams. Maybe you see Madison Bumgarner finally get dealt. Maybe he's the guy the Angels go after. I'm not sure how much of an ace he still is, but maybe Noah Syndergaard ends up getting, becoming gets on the block for the Mets. Again, these are not guys who I think are gonna move, but I'm just saying if a team is gonna pick up an ace, I think the Angels need to pick up an ace and they'll have a legit chance to win.
Yeah, they need Matt Harvey to be the Skaggs, Heaney, two lefties, Cahill's 31. Yeah, not a.
I like Tyler Skaggs. I think that he's going to have a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting look. And that's the way I would play it. If you're going to actually, bet on the pennant for the American League, you can dabble on them all. Red Sox, Yankee, all the. I think finding out who that other wild card team would be, Seattle looked good, and I know they played Oakland. Always starts the year bad, makes moves, and gets better. It happens. It's like Moneyball. It just happens. The Mariners look good when I watch them. +3,300 if you like any value. And Tampa Bay, let's see. I know they're in American League East. That will probably hold them down. Excuse me a little bit, but they turned it around a little bit. So. Yeah, as far as pennant odds, I think we know who the teams are that are going to go there. The win totals, I think, is the one thing I was interested in talking about today, Dan.
Okay.
Just to start with the Red Sox again, because they're the defending world champions, it was 95.5. My book is now 94.5.
Yeah, I'm
walking in the over on that one.
I have the under. I think that's a hard under. I think the Red Sox will win 90-91 games. They're going to face a lot of injuries this year. It's bound to happen. You had a healthy team last year. It's going to happen. I think the under is, for me, very clear there.
It's actually the favorite. So if you look at it, it's favoring a -115.
Yeah, I think the under. I think, again, we're Boston guys. We always overrate the. We always think that our team's going to get getting more wins than they are. We'll talk about that when we do the NBA review tonight. I just think that the Red Sox are going to win 90, 91, 92 games. They're not going to catch that 95 plateau.
So I just think they win 97 because the American League is that bad. Like, they're going to have issues with their bullpen. There's no doubt.
Well, that's the other thing, is that they are just – they're trusting their bullpen is going to be very tough.
So, you know, the couple of things that stood out to me, and I thought this was interesting. Matt McCarthy, who does the Hardcore Baseball podcast, you can hear on B-Pod Studios or 98.5thesportsclub.com. He said that the over for the Chicago White Sox at 73.5 would be a good play, just based off the division that they play in. And they do have some talent. I don't know. And it's plus 105 right now.
All right. Before we get into specific, why don't we go through each team? Maybe that will be a little bit easier. And then we can say what we want to play and what we not. Does that make it? I just think if we start trying to pick random teams like we did for the NBA, it might make it a little tough to fall.
Okay.
So, all right, why don't we do that? So I'll start. Arizona Diamondbacks, over under 75.5 wins. Are you going to play it?
I won't play it, but I'd probably lean over. 75? Like, you should be able to win 75 games if you're a decent Major League Baseball team.
I think Arizona wins less than 75.5 games, in probably 70-ish range for Arizona. They traded Paul Goldschmidt. They don't have pretty much anyone outside of Zach Greinke in that starting rotation. Their bullpen has been depleted. Their lineup is, you know, they lost AJ Pollock. They don't have anyone in that lineup. In my opinion, Arizona is a clear 75.5. I will not be playing that, though. Atlanta, the Braves, over under 86 wins, Joe.
Over. I think Josh Donaldson's going to have an MVP-type season playing in the National League. Freddie Freeman. I'm just trying to think of the guys on their team. I actually like I like Acuna as well. Like, I like that team a lot. I'm going to go over.
I agree. I think that Atlanta is an over. I won't be playing that one either, but I think that it is an over. All right, Joe. Baltimore, over under 58.5 wins.
Under. They're going to be terrible. They're absolutely horrible. 58, though? Oof.
Here's the thing. Let's not forget how bad the rest of the AL is.
Oh, man. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over. Over 58.5 for me. I won't be playing it, but over 58.5 for me would probably be my lean there. Boston, we talked about. I'm going to be playing the under 95. You like the over 94. Yeah,
I think they win 97 games this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under there. I would be playing that. Cubs, over under 87.5 wins.
So last year the Cubs won 95. So I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go under. I don't think they've gotten better. I think they've gotten significantly worse. Another year wear and tear. Their rotation's getting older. Their bullpen hasn't gotten much better. And their division has gotten significantly better this offseason. I'm going to go under 87.5. I will be playing that one as well.
Wow.
Chicago White Sox, over 73.5 wins.
Over.
Trustin McCarthy?
I'm trusting him on that one.
I agree. Over 73.5 wins. The AL's.
They won 62 games last year. So.
Agreed. They are definitely 10 games better. They're trying to buy in, trying to get some talent over there, trying to win. You'll see some trades. You know, those guys are going to come up. Eloy Jimenez is going to be a big, big piece for them. He's going to be a very, very good player. He will be coming up relatively soon. There's going to be a lot of young talent coming through the White Sox system. Nicky Delmonico will be starting there full time. The White Sox over 73.5 wins. I like that as well. The Reds over under 78.5 wins, Joe.
Oh God, do they suck? They suck.
But remember, they did make a trade. They got Matt Kemp. They got Alex Wood. They dumped Homer Bailey. They did add some talent, Joe.
Oh, I'm going under.
I agree. I'm going under 78.5. Will not be playing that. Will not be playing that, but agree. 78.5 wins. Okay, Cleveland Indians, over under 90.5 wins.
Man, it's right on. They won 91 last year, I think. Hey, Hanley Ramirez, they'll go over.
I think it's going to be over, too. It's going to be super close. I think that number is very sharp. I don't have anything there. I think they will go over, but I don't love it. I won't be playing that one. Let's go to the Rockies. Over under 84.5 wins, Joe.
So I'm going to go over. They had 91 last year. I think they have one of the best players in baseball in Arenado. 191 games, 91 and 72, finished just behind the Dodgers. That's going to be a race there. I think they go over.
I think they go under 84.5. There's got to be some aggression with Colorado. I do think they are a very good team. I think Freeland had a very good year last year. I don't expect their pitching staff to pitch the way that they did. I think they played much better down the stretch than they actually are. We're going to see what David Dahl does this year, if he can actually stay in the lineup. Trevor Story is going to be interesting to see if he can repeat the year that he had last year. You know, they still have Charlie Blackman. They still have all these pieces. In my opinion, Colorado is getting older, another year older equals another, you know, some more injuries. I'm going to go under 84.5. We'll not be playing that. The Detroit Tigers, over under 68.5 wins, Joe.
I'm going over. I think Miguel Cabrera is going to have a big bounce back year this year for them.
Okay, I'm going under. I think 60.5 is the under 60.5 is the right side. They'll probably be, in my opinion, they might be the worst team in the AL this year.
Ooh.
We'll see. Probably not. I mean, Kansas City and Baltimore probably are ultimately worse, but they're going to be right there. So under 60.5. Okay, Joe, over under 96.5 wins for the Houston Astros.
I have them winning the World Series, so I might as well go over the total in that one.
You have over. Okay, I'm going to go over with you. I think over 96.
Does a team win 100 games this year?
I think if any team wins 100 games, I think it's going to be Houston this year. I agree. So Houston, in my opinion, over 96.5 wins. All right. Kansas City Royals, over under 69.5 wins.
Ooh, under. Yeah, under, man. They had 58 wins. Yeah, under.
I'm going to say over, but I'm not confident in it. You know what? I'm going to go under. I'm not very confident in it either way. I'm obviously not betting on that one. I think that's going to be a tough team to determine where they're actually going to end up. Okay, LA Angels, Joe, over under 82.5 wins.
Over. Everything we discussed, over.
Well, great. LA, this is going to be one of my bigger plays for the over-unders. Over 82.5 wins for the LA Angels, in my opinion. All right, LA Dodgers, over under 93.5 wins, Joe. This came out at 95.5, and I played the under immediately.
Over.
Going to go under 93.5. I think they end up winning about 90 games. I think someone emerges from that division. I'm not sure if it's Colorado. Someone is going to emerge from that division. I think it's San Diego. But someone is going to emerge from that division and give them a tough time. All right. Miami, the Marlins, over under 63.5 wins.
Oh, God. Which way do you go on that one? Over. They're gonna be improved, this team. But if we could bet on it, Don Mattingly, first manager to be fired this year. Book it.
Okay, Miami, I'm going to go under. Just don't think they have the talent. Traded JT Realmuto, who is by far their best player. Eventually, some of these young kids will emerge, but really they're not in a great spot right now. Under 63.5 to me for the Miami Marlins. Milwaukee, over under 86.5 wins, Joe.
I'm going to go over. I can't believe Ryan Braun forgot his passport and couldn't play in a game. What is that shit?
I mean, that's not much of a surprise.
It really isn't.
Milwaukee's a very tough one. I wouldn't play that one either way. I do think the under is the correct play there.
MVP, returning. There's a lot of eyeballs on that team. You might be right. It might be inflated a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Milwaukee's going to be very interesting. To me, they're going to be a complete wild card. Not going to make the wild card, but they're just a complete wild card in the NL Central. Minnesota, over under 83.5 wins, Joe.
Man, does that division suck, huh? 78. I think, what was the total again?
83.5.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over. I like over Minnesota, over 83.5. That's going to be one of my plays that I will definitely be playing.
I think the White Sox and Tigers improve, and the Twins get a little worse.
See, I think the Tigers are going to suck this year. So I guess that's where we'll see where it is. All right, Joe, over under 85.5 wins for the Mets this year.
Under.
This is a joke. Under. You want to bet the over on the Mets to have win 86 games? Psycho. That team,
we might as well make that a BP.
Jesus. That team always blows it. Come on, guys. I mean, seriously. Over.
Wins.
Over.
I might bet that right now.
Brutal. There's no way I'm betting over 85 and a half wins for the freaking Mets. No shot. All right, how about the Yankees? Over, under 96 and a half wins, Joe.
Red, I have the over for the Red Sox, and I got to go over. I have the Yankees winning the East, so I'm going over.
Okay, I have the under for the Yankees. I don't think any team in the AL East is going to win over 95 games. So I think there will only be one.
Could happen.
I think the Yankees will be under 96 and a half wins. Okay, the Philadelphia Phillies, over under 89 and a half wins, Joe.
So that one's interesting to me, the Phillies. I'm going to go under. A lot of expectations. I'm sure I'm wrong on this one, but I'm going to go under.
I agree with you. I'm going to go under as well. I just think that you have these lofty expectations because of Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto. They might sign Craig Kimbrel. They've already added David Robertson. They're a very good team. They have a lot of talent. Can they bring it all together? That'll be interesting. They're going to be playing in a tough division. You know, the Nationals are going to give them a run. You know, I think the Mets will give them a run for a while. The Braves are definitely a good team. There's just too many good teams in that division. Under 89 and a half wins for me. The Pittsburgh Pirates, over under 77 and a half wins, Joe.
Oh, I think they suck. I think they win 80 games.
Okay, I think they're going under 77 and a half. You have too many good teams in that division. The Cubs, the Cardinals, the Brewers. Something has to give eventually with that division. I think the Pirates will be one of the teams that struggles and ends up selling off of the deadline. The Pirates under 77 and a half wins. I will be playing that one. Okay. Here's an interesting one. The San Diego Padres over under 78 and a half wins.
Who's this?
The San Diego Padres. Over, under 78 and a half wins.
Over.
Agreed. San Diego going to be over 78 and a half. They have so much young talent coming up. Eventually, those kids are going to have to break through. I think they're going to be the one team in that division that can actually push the Dodgers for a little bit. I'm going to go over 78 and a half. I'm going to be playing that one as well. San Francisco Giants. Over, under 73 and a half wins, Joe.
Under. I think Bumgarner gets
at some point. This one was tough for me. I'm going to go over, but I'm going to say it's real close. Real close. It's right at that number. So we'll see. Okay, Joe. St. Louis Cardinals over under 88 wins.
Under.
Going over. Going to go over. I think St. Louis wins 93 games, wins that division, is the best team in the National League this year. Over for the St. Louis Cardinals, over 88 and a half wins for me. Tampa Bay, over under 84 and a half wins, Joe.
Over.
Over, okay. I'm going to go under. I'm going to stick with my under prediction. Under 84 and a half. I think they win right around 80, 82. I think they're going to be a mid-500 team. Too many wins between the Red Sox and the Yankees to give them 84, 85 wins. Just too many wins. Over under 71 and a half wins for the Texas Rangers, Joe.
Way under.
What'd you say? Looks like we've lost Joe for a second. I'm going to go under 71 and a half wins for the Texas Rangers. Joe, you back?
I'm back.
Okay. Over under 71 and a half wins for the Rangers, Joe.
Way under.
Okay. I agree.
Way under.
I agree. I think Texas is going to regress a lot this year. Joe, over under 74 and a half wins for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Way under.
I think that one's going to go over. I think eventually, I think they'll probably win around 75, 76 games. It won't be terrible. I think the Orioles are going to be that terrible team, and the Blue Jays will be the beneficiary of that. Over under 89 wins for the Washington Nationals, Joe.
I see it at 88.5. I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go under 89. I think they probably win about 85, 86 games during that playoff spot, end up getting the second wild card. I'll go under 89 wins for Washington Nationals. Anything that you specifically like there? Any ones that stand out to you?
I just feel like a little addition by subtraction. But I also think Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in the league. And, you know, I just think that team, that every year they're in it, you know, now the expectations aren't really as high as in the past. I just, for me, I'm going with the whole addition by subtraction thing with Bryce Harper out of the mix.
All right, Joe, any specific win totals that stick out to you that you're going to be playing this year?
I'm going to play the Red Sox over for sure. Everything else, I might play the Texas Rangers to go under 71.5. That one I might play that. But that's really it. I mean, you know, nothing I really want to play. Like, I'm going to fall. The Marlins might be an interesting one.
Oh, by the way, you know what? We did not do the Seattle Mariners for whatever reason. They're not on the board. 72.5 wins. And the Oakland A's under 83.5 wins.
It's because they already played, but
correct.
I think Seattle goes over, and both of those teams go over. I think they're going to compete for the final wild card spot.
So here are my plays, and I'm actually going to be playing for the totals. I'm going to be playing the Red Sox under 95 wins, the Cubs under 88 wins. The Indians over 90.5 wins. I will be playing the Pittsburgh Pirates under 77.5 wins. The Minnesota Twins over 83.5 wins. The St. Louis Cardinals over 88 wins. The Oakland A's under 83.5 wins. And the Seattle Mariners under 73 wins. Those will be my plays for the MLB season in terms of over-under totals. We'll track those at the end of the year. Joe, do you have any MVP bets? Anything that you like, you want to talk about that?
Well, one thing I want to bet on is who will be the home run champion this year.
Okay.
I'm going to take a stab at Giancarlo Stanton to make a bounce back this year at minus 700. I think he's going to be in full home run mode this year. I think he hits more than Aaron Judge this season.
Interesting. Okay. I don't have a home run champ in either league, I don't think. I don't think that's for me. Let's see here. Stands over under home runs this year, 41.5.
Over.
41.5 is for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, I think him and JD Martinez go over again this year.
Interesting. I can't do it. I can't do it. I do think that there's going to be I think there's going to be a bunch of guys that emerge in the AL this year, and I just cannot decide on who I want to do that. For the NL Cy Young, you have anyone for the NL Cy Young you like?
Ooh, Cy Young awards. Didn't even look into that.
I can read you what I have for at least the top few.
The kid Nola is very good.
Aaron Nola, yeah, from Philly.
Aaron Nola, he'd be somebody. You know, I'm going to go Jacob DeGrom. Big contract. We were laughing about those Mets over-under totals. Give me Jacob DeGrom.
So he won it last year. Yeah. I had a 10-1 ticket on him. He won it last year. This year, we have some very interesting NL Cy Young odds. Just kind of want to put these out there. Two names. There are three or four names that do not fit in here. Hold on. Let's go. Scherzer +250. DeGrom +350. Nola +800. Syndergaard +1,500. Walker Buehler +1,500.
Wow.
Clayton Kershaw +2,000. Here's one. Jack Flaherty +2,500, Patrick Corbin +2,500, Kyle Freeland +3,000, Bumgarner Strasburg both +3,000, Alex Reyes, rookie for the Cardinals +3,300, Miles Mikolas +4,000, Greinke +4,000, and Zach Wheeler +4,000. Those are the the top guys to win the NL Cy Young. Names that do not belong. Jack Flaherty, plus 2,500. That is interesting to me. That should tell you that books and players and sharps value Jack Flaherty. So you want a fantasy pickup, Jack Flaherty might be a guy to get in your league. Miles Mikolas, plus 4,000. Had a good year for the Cardinals last year, but plus 4,000? Might be another guy you look at adding. And then finally, Alex Reyes, who just has not been able to stay healthy ever, plus 3,300 this year. Very interesting. So those are names that did not belong to me in that conversation were very interesting. I love the Jack Flaherty name. I think that's a very, very interesting addition there. I'm going to go for my personal pick for the NL Cy Young this year. I'm going to go with... I don't really love any of the value here. I'm going to go with Noah Syndergaard plus 1,500. That is the best value, in my opinion, on the board. I don't think he's going to win it. But if I had a bet on value, that would be my pick. Actually, the best value, in my opinion, is Madison Bumgarner plus 3,000.
So I like Severino in the American League, but a value pick, Garrett Cole.
Agreed.
Plus 1,200.
Agreed. I agree with that. Let's read off the AL list. Corey Kluber plus 380. Chris Sale plus 450. Garrett Cole plus 1,150. Carrasco plus 1,500. Verlander, Severino, Bauer all plus 1,500. Blake Snell plus 1,800. Price and James Paxton plus 2,000. Berrios, Tanaka plus 3,000. Porcello and Happ plus 4,000. I'm sorry, who did you have to? Garrett Cole. Yeah. Garrett Cole plus 1150.
Severino and Cole.
I actually agree. I think those are the two best value picks on the board. I think Jose Berrios plus 3,000. Is this the year he emerges? If he does, that's a nice value pick as well. That would not surprise me. And I'll just say this. I'm just going to put this out there. Andrew Heaney, this is a guy who could very much emerge this year. Plus 6,000, I think he's going to be a pretty good pitcher this year. So he would be my long shot. But I agree, Joe. I think Garrett Cole plus 1,150 is incredibly good value. Severino plus 1,500. When he is right, he is the best pitcher in the AL, in my opinion. I think those two are both definitely worth a look. And Berrios plus 3,000, I might also sprinkle a little bit.
All right. And I know we're under time constraints, Dan.
Indeed. Tonight.
Only because I have to be up in 5 hours. We went over win totals. We went over the home runs, Cy Young Award winners. I like the Astros to win it all.
You like the Astros to win it all. Do you have any MVPs for either the AL and the NL?
So as far as MVP, I'm going to go away from Mookie Betts. I'm not high on Mookie like everybody else. And I don't know if it's because when, you know, Ortiz wasn't in the lineup, he wasn't as good. But like National League odds, Bryce Harper is going to be like up there. Arenado, he could be the MVP. Christian Yelich, I know he was, you know, one of the guys up there. Won it last year. But for me, like when the odds stand out to me, there's some big, like Yelich again is 1,500. I'm looking at it right now.
I have a plus 2,000. I don't think he repeats, though.
Wow. So, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, think of a name. And I don't know, maybe DeGrom at plus 8,000 for a pitcher. Maybe he gets the Mets in the playoffs. I don't know. That's for odds. Like, I look for, like, weird things like that.
For me, my NL MVP this year, Paul Goldschmidt, plus 1,200. I think that he is going to lead the Cardinals to being an elite team this year. For the AL, Francisco Lindor plus 2,500 just holds tremendous value to me. He really emerged last year, and I just feel that he's going to be an incredibly valuable guy. And Alex Bregman plus 1,800 as well. That was the other guy in the AL who I like. So those are going to be my two. For the World Series this year, as I said, I'm going to pick the Indians I'm going to have the Indians beating the Cardinals in the World Series. I will be betting futures on the Indians and the Astros to win the AL. I'll be betting on the Cardinals to win the NL. Anything else, Joe?
I was going to say Mike Trout at plus 120 is an MVP. That's square play.
Yes, he is. That is very square. By the way, Giancarlo Stanton plus 900 to lead the AL in home runs.
Okay, plus 700 overall. So there might be more value with the AL than maybe overall.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Always finding the extra money here. So anything else with baseball? Oh, and how about the fact that oddsmakers will now have the lineups before we do?
So this is going to cause all sorts of issues. This is going to make it so that you cannot bet on the games. There's going to be line movement all over the place. We talked about it last week. Bookmakers and books will have the lineups before players do. You're going to see sharp line movement all over the place. Be very careful. The first couple weeks, you need to be very, very, very careful about betting early on, and just kind of taking, you know, making sure that you guys are not betting, you know, and just following, chasing live movement, because guess what? Books are going to get you on live movement this year. They are going to get you on live movement without question. The movement, I guarantee you there's going to be lines that move quickly, and people are going to be following the, you know, following the money, following the steam. Be very careful betting those this year.
Yes, I agree. And some of the value might not be out there, and guys get scratched, and it's happened to me a couple of times. All right, so that's our baseball preview. We're going to go over this tomorrow. We'll be on with Toucher and Rich tomorrow as well in Boston. So
you might, I might not be. We'll see. I'm TBD. I'm TBD. We'll see.
All right. Well, we will do more over under 985. We also have questions as well. I'm not sure if Dan's going to do a hockey segment, but we will continue this episode of Over Under 985 coming up next.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 985thesportshub.com.
All right, so NHL, we have been very inconsistent the past few weeks. Pretty much everything I've said to play has lost. Everything we haven't played has won. So I'm done with doing that. We're going to change the way we do things, okay? No more questions. I don't want to hear any more questions from you guys asking you, well, when would one to play this, when the not. I'm going to give you very simple answers. No more DMs about all this stuff, because what happens is I get 400 DMs asking about a play. I overthink it, and that's what happens, and I say, oh, let's not play it because I overthink it. So, straight up, no more DMs. If you ask me about a hockey play, the answer is I'm not telling you, okay? No more DMs. You guys don't ask me about anything else. Totally cool with it, but hockey, gotta stop, because I'm getting in my own head from everyone asking, oh, it's at 6 now, oh, it's at 6.5, oh, it's a, the movement is, and honestly, I'm getting in my own head. So no more of that, no more asking me about hockey, okay? You can ask me for playing it, but I'm not going to answer you. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to answer you, okay? I will post every single day if we are playing it or not. If I don't post by 6 o'clock, you can send me a DM. I will post something, do not worry, every single day. So here's what we're going to do. No PPs. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I'll tell you the day of if it's going to be a PP, 1.5 units, small play, small, which will be half a unit, or regular play. Therefore, I don't have to deal with it right now in the podcast. It'll be a little bit easier to project out that day instead of projecting out a week in advance, and it will just be easier for everyone to do. So, no more questions about sizes. I'm going to give you the plays that we're going to play or the plays that I like. We have 12 games up until, I believe, next Wednesday. So, you know, I did everything right now while we have 12 games. No more DMs. Don't ask me about anything. I don't want to ask about it. You guys are getting into my head. And it's not you. It's a me thing, okay? Don't take this personally. This is not a your fault. This is my fault. You can, you're welcome to send me the questions. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to answer them, okay? Again, this is nothing against you guys. You guys have done nothing wrong. This is me getting in my own head about line movement and everything. So I'm just not going to answer questions anymore. Okay, starting tomorrow, which is, I believe, what, Thursday? I'm so tired, I don't even know. I'm doing this at 2 o'clock at night right now. So, Thursday, we have the Sharks Blackhawks. I will tell you right now, you do not need to ask me about this. Do not DM me. Do not ask. The answer is yes. Over 6.5, we are playing that one. You don't need to ask me. You do not need to ask me. The Sharks Blackhawks over 6.5, we are playing that. It is a play. Go ahead, lock it in, play it. The only way that anything changes in that one is if there are severe injuries in that, okay? So that hopefully everyone understands that. Tomorrow, Sharks Blackhawks over 6.5, good. Got it, okay. On Friday, we have the Flames Ducks. Okay, I like this matchup. We're actually going to have two of these this week. We have two unders in the Ducks and the Ducks of Flames. If this is under 5.5, we are playing it. If it's not under 5.5, we are not. Pretty simple, okay? That line must be at 5.5. That's for Friday. Saturday, we have a few games. We have the Devils and Blues. We're going to be playing the Blues money line. So I'll let you know whatever the price is, if we're playing it or not. If it's too high, we're just not going to play it. We're not going to play the puck line, most likely. I will let you know. Excuse me. But we'll probably just play the money line for that one. We also have the Jets and Canadiens on Saturday. That is going to be an over. That must be over 6.5. If it's not over 6.5, we will not be playing it. We have the Sharks and in Vegas Golden Knights. That is also Saturday. If that is at 6.5, we will be playing that. If it's at 6, I will let you know. If it's at 5.5, we will not be playing it. Okay, that is an overplay for the Sharks and Golden Knights. Then we have the Stars and Canucks. If that is under 5.5 on Saturday, we will be playing that as well. Not 6, just 5.5. So, to review, we are playing the Blues money line. Okay, as long as it's not too high, I will post about it. I do not need you to DM me asking if it's a play. I promise you, I will let you know. The Jets and Canadiens must be over 6.5. Otherwise, we will not be playing it. The Sharks and Golden Knights must be at 6.5, maybe 6. I'll let you know if it's at 6. You don't need to DM me and ask. I promise I'll let you know. The Sharks, Golden Knights over 6.5. Then we have the Canucks and Stars under. Must be at 5.5. I will let you know. And what I will say is the play in the Devils Blues game is a go, which means play the money line. The play in the Jets Canadians game is a go, which you'll know. So you will know what the play is there. You do not need to ask me. Please do not comment under, because we're trying to make sure that no one else knows the plays. The Sunday game, Sharks and Flames, the game, the Sharks money line. That will be the play there. The Sharks Flames over will be the play there, as long as that's 6.5. My apologies. Sunday, Sharks and Flames over 6.5. Again, I will let you know if that is the play. Monday, Devils and Rangers must be at, it must be at over 6 or 6.5. Nothing else. Must be at 6 or 6.5. We also have the Kings and Flames on Monday. That will be under 5.5. Okay, anything, and if it's at over 6 or 6.5, we will not be playing. All right, let's move on to Tuesday next week. We have the Lightning and the Canadiens. If the Lightning money line is reasonable, we're playing the Lightning money line there. If the Sharks versus the Canucks, if the Sharks money line is reasonable, we're playing the Sharks money line there as well. So that is the Lightning money line on Tuesday and the Sharks money line on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have the Ducks Flames. Again, that will be an under 5.5. If it's not 5.5, we will not be playing that. So, quick review, okay? Tomorrow, a play that is already played. Once you listen to the podcast, you can go play it. Sharks Blackhawks over 6.5. That'll be a regular play. So therefore, you don't have to ask me what size it is. Regular play, okay? I will let you know in the post. I will say the Flames-Ducks play is a go. It will be a small play, something like that, okay? Pretty simple. So tomorrow, Sharks-Blackhawks over 6.5. That is a play, is a regular size play, one unit. On Friday, we will have the Flames-Ducks as long as it's under 5.5, okay? Saturday, we have the Devils Blues, the Blues money line, as long as it's reasonable, will be the play. The Jets Canadians over 6.5, as long as it's 6.5 or over. Sharks Knights Must be at 6.5. Probably going to have to be at 6.5. Maybe 6. We'll see. But at least 6.5. And the Canucks Stars must be under 5.5. Moving on to Monday. On the Sunday, the Sharks and Flames over 6.5. On to Monday, the Devils and Rangers must be over 6 or 6.5. The Kings and Flames must be under 5.5. Tuesday, Lightning Canadiens, Lightning Moneyline. As long as it's reasonable, that will be the play. We also have the Sharks Canucks. As long as the Sharks Moneyline is reasonable, that will also be a play. We may play the puck line there. I'll let you know. And finally, the Ducks Flames there will be playing the under as long as that's 5.5. Please let me know if you have any questions. However, I no longer want DMs saying, is this a play at this? Is this not? I'm telling you right now what the plays are at, okay? There are no other ifs, ands, or buts. These are the lines it must be at. It is the opening line, not the movement. Opening line, not the movement, okay? So it is where the opening line is at. Please use, if you have any questions, but you can answer, you can send them. I'm just giving you a heads up, probably not going to answer them. Okay, we get too many questions about other things. There's going to be a ton of basketball questions this week, ton of baseball questions this week. Just giving you a heads up, it's not you guys. You guys have done nothing wrong. It's just a me thing. I get in my own head about the hockey players because I cap them differently than other stuff. So therefore, because of that, everyone gets in my own head about that. So just like giving you a heads up right now, okay, those are the plays. Blackhawks Sharks, over, play. Ducks Flames, under. Devils Blues, Blues money line. Jets Canadians over 6.5. Sharks Knights over 6.5. Canucks Stars under 5.5. Sharks Flames over 6.5. Devils Rangers over 6 or 6.5. Kings Flames under 5.5. Canadians Lightning money line as long as the line is not too high. Canucks Sharks money line is on as long as the line is not too high. And Ducks Flames under 5.5. Hope that answers all of your questions. I will let you know the day of what is the play, the size of the play, and if it is a play or not. If it's not a play, I'll say it's a no-go. If we are playing it, I will say it's a go, and it's a regular play, something like that. Okay? Again, feel free to DM me with any questions, but I'm probably not going to answer them. Giving you a heads up right now. Just giving you a heads up. I'm tired as hell. Please don't take this personally. None of you done nothing wrong. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm getting in my own head about the hockey stuff, and I need to just kind of do it the way I was doing it before I got a million questions a day about it. So that is what we're going to do this week. We're going to try that out. If it goes well, we'll continue with it. If it doesn't, we'll probably just stop doing hockey plays. Because right now, the last 2 weeks, every single play that I've played has pretty much been a loss. Every single play that I have that played has been a win, pretty much. Pretty much that's how it's gone. So we'll see. All right, guys, have a good rest of the week. Good luck on your hockey plays. If you have any questions about other hockey games, feel free to DM me about those.
Brady Fields, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch. Brady takes the snap. Shotgun snap to Brady. Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
The Sports Hub.
Over under 985. We just did baseball, man. Woof, I'm not ready. But you know what I am ready for is betting the NBA in the playoffs.
You ready? It's square. It's going to be very, very, very square.
Dan, it's one of my most profitable seasons of the year.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all. That fits right. It's right up your alley, Joe. 100%.
It's so profitable. Yeah, I did want to say something. I had a couple of people who came up with some models for the NCAA bracket, and like it really worked. I didn't even follow it, but like you do have to like go off of how two seeds play against, seeding really does matter with against the spread matchups and everything. And I just felt like, I don't know. I know we talked about this already, but I felt like the refs were going along with everything for the underdogs. Like it was just, dude, it was so funny just watching me lose bet after bet. Anyways, when it comes to the NBA, I've stayed away, Dan. The other night I wanted to take the Celtics. They were -5.5 versus the Cavs. They won by 10. but the game got close a couple of times there. But for me, like, I'm not touching this thing until we get to the playoffs. There is a game on Friday night, Celtics and Pacers, that will determine home field advantage. And I haven't seen a line yet because the Pacers play tonight. But just what have you seen over the last couple of weeks in the NBA? And I know the Charlotte Hornets have been very good of late.
Yeah, so what I've seen is that teams are starting to fade down the stretch. You're starting to see teams not give a crap, and some teams care. The Celtics are not bettable in any game, despite you wanting to bet them 5.5 versus the Cavs. You just can't bet them right now. You just cannot trust them. Honestly, the Nuggets are fading. There's no one in the West that's going to challenge the Warriors, but the Rockets
lost,
again.
Nurkic, so whatever.
Yep, they lost Nurkic, so that's, I mean, their season's done for the most part. Honestly, there's no one in the West has come down to two teams. It's going to be the Rockets. It's going to be the Warriors. The Warriors will probably ultimately beat them in advance. For the East, it's going to come down to the Bucks. It's going to come down to the Raptors. It's going to come down to the Celtics and maybe the Sixers, who I still have a very tough time trusting, you know, in the East. So we'll see about that one. But yeah, I mean, it's not really a surprise. It's really a 6-team race right now for the championship. And I think that that's even a little bit too much.
Who do you think will be the MVP?
So funny we should ask. I reviewed episode 14. Which was our NBA, preview podcast, Joe. We had four different MVP candidates. I had two, you had two. You want to hear those four?
Yeah.
You had Anthony Davis and James Harden. I had Kawhi Leonard and Antetokounmpo.
Ooh.
So
what do we have?
One of us is going to hit those. I had Kawhi plus 950 and Giannis plus 1100. You had Davis plus 850 and Harden plus 700.
Wow. So right now, Giannis and Harden. Giannis has missed some time, though, hasn't he?
He has, but so has Harden. So Harden, I lied. I don't think Harden's actually missed any time. However, Giannis has missed some time. It's going to come down to those two. I'm going to say Giannis is going to win it, but honestly, I would not be surprised if either one won it. Either way, we gave out four futures for the MVP. We're going to hit it.
Boom.
And we're going to make money on that.
Davis really sucked.
Davis blew it. And so did Kawhi. He didn't play half the games this year.
Yep. And that might really help Toronto when it comes to the playoffs, and then when he bails on their ass.
I don't know, man. I would be very careful. I think he may end up staying there. So I gave out, I believe it was 10 win totals. You gave out four win totals. Here are those win totals. Just kind of review. We both had the Celtics under 59 wins. Big. Well, that was one of our big ones. We both had the Celtics under 59. That is a winner. We both had the Suns over 28 wins. Big. That's a loss. That is a loss.
Man,
yeah.
Huh?
We both have the Suns over 28 wins. Pretty big. Your third big one, the Kings over 27 wins. I don't know where you pulled that out from, but that was a winner for you. My third big one, and we only had three big each. Two of them were the same. I had the Sixers under 54.5 wins. That's going to come right down to the wire. Ultimately, it'll probably be a win unless the Sixers win out, which they most likely will not. So probably going to be a win for me either way. You right now are 2-1. I will most likely go 2-1. You gave out those three. The other ones that we liked, or I gave out, and you said that you liked a few of them, but you didn't really kind of let me know which ones you liked. However, I had the Rockets over 56.5 wins. That is going to be a loss. I had the Nuggets over 48 wins. That's a win. ID Lakers over 48 wins. That's a loss.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had the Pelicans under 45 wins. That's a win. I had the Dallas Mavericks under 36.5 wins. That will probably be a win after tonight. The Spurs under 42.5 wins. That's a loss. And the Grizzlies under 34 wins. That will probably be a win. The three that you had, the other three you had the Bucks over. I did not have a number on that, but you had the Bucks over, which is a winner. already, no matter what the line was, because they closed, I believe, at 51. So you had that. You had the Dallas Mavericks over 36.5 wins. That will probably be a loss. And you had the Nuggets over 48 wins. That is also a winner.
Damn.
So that is our NBA review of our season so far. We're going to hit the MVP, it looks like. One of us will. And then we, together, pretty good in the total in the over-unders. I went 6-4. You went, I believe, 5-2, I think.
Hey, I'll take any winner I can at this point.
So, so those were our NBA preview picks.
Just real quick, while you're eyeballing it here, I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to say it's Toronto-Houston in the finals.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I will say it's Toronto-Golden State. Golden State wins. I'm going to say I just think they're going to win again, and then Kevin Durant will bolt to New York, and that, you know, that will be that. Kyrie will go with him, and the Knicks will be a very contender for the next 3-4 years.
They'll get Zion Williamson.
And they may get Zion Williamson, and that whole team is going to be a nice little super team in the East, and the Celtics will just be digging a deeper and deeper hole.
Just think about that one more time. It could be Dennis Smith Jr., right?
Yep.
Durant, Knox, Zion. Oh, no, it'd be Kyrie, sorry.
Yep.
Kyrie with Zion, Knox, Durant, and I don't know, you can probably put Dennis Smith Jr. in there. But that's a nice little team.
And if they decide to trade Zion for Anthony Davis, they could have Durant, Davis, Kyrie.
Woo!
Not that I think that's going to happen, but just saying. They have the option.
Yeah, not like you think it's going to happen or anything.
I don't think it's going to happen, but just saying they have a legitimate option to do that. So
very interesting, Dan.
Yeah, so very, very interesting.
Yeah, we'll do more NBA next week. We got we'll actually have the final next week for the championship game as well. And send us some damn questions. Don't send me DMs about, Joe, what do you think about this Pally kid, you know? Like, I don't care about your parlay.
Tell the people what they really feel, Joe. Tell
no, really. I don't care about your parlay. You know, we tell you not to bet parlays, but you ask us about parlays.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to stop betting parlays.
Just don't ask me about them anymore.
Got to stop betting parlays. We will get into, playoff hockey and everything around the corner. People are asking questions about playoff basketball, playoff hockey. We'll get into that more in the next few weeks. Joe, do you have anything in regards to MLB lines? That was really the one question. Anything you specifically look for in MLB lines? A lot of people say movement. A lot of people say movement, but that's going to change this year.
No, I don't believe in the movement. So, all right, opening day, Yankees are -400 tomorrow against Baltimore. Tell me you just don't want to put $25 on the Orioles.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I mean,
-400, dude.
I don't have any interest in betting that. I think tomorrow, I'm not sure I'm going to bet baseball. It's the same thing college basketball, Joe. I need to take a couple days. We'll work out the kinks, kind of see everything in the system, and then I can kind of go. I will try and find some sort of line. Maybe for people to play tomorrow. Tomorrow's games are going to be interesting, man. I mean, really, you know, there are some interesting lines. I want to see what comes of these games. I mean, there are some good matchups. Verlander, Snell. Freeland is going to be pitching for the Rockies tomorrow. Interesting to see how he does. Bumgarner, Lauer. Padres going with Eric Lauer as their opening day starter. Tehran Nola. DeGrom Scherzer is going to be a legitimate classic for the ages. Chris Sale starts tomorrow. So Kluber Berrios is tomorrow. So I'm interested to see what we get tomorrow. I'm really interested for the season coming up. I will tell you, be very careful, guys. Be very careful the first couple weeks of baseball season. You need to let the dust settle. You need to see what's going on, where the trends are setting. You know, right now we have an over-under 6.5 in the DeGrom-Scherzer game. That's the lowest total outside of the Verlander-Snell game. Wow. 6.5. You know, so, I mean, really, you got to be careful. let's you know, let's be very careful in our betting this year. Baseball over unders are always better than you know, always better than money lines for me. And so we will we'll see how we do in those. But I'm just telling you, the first couple weeks of baseball season are going to be very hard to bet, Joe.
I am. I agree, and I'm going to be watching, and I want to know who's hot. One team always goes on like a 10 game winning streak at the beginning of the year. I'm going to try to find that team and ride it out early on. So that's it for this week's podcast. Literally, like, dude, I'm burning the candle at both ends.
Yep.
You just got back from Vegas.
Yep.
You know,
like, I'm fried right now. Trust me.
Like, I just hope people get it. Like,
if we talk too much, we sound like we're just going on too much because we're just dead. We're both dead.
It's just, and I got to get up in 4 hours.
Yep.
And we'll do it all over again. So for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been the Over 98.5 podcast.
Who you got?
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.